Welcome to the We Have a Meeting podcast, where we sit down with the world's smartest thinkers to give you the actionable tools, insights, and strategies that could make your life more impactful and productive. This week, we have a meeting with...
Hey, I'm Elise Hugh, host of the podcast TED Talks Daily. For more than 20 years, Paylocity has been leading the way with cutting-edge work solutions like on-demand payment, which offers employees access to wages prior to payday, flexible time tracking features, which enable staff to clock in and out through their mobile device, and numerous other cutting-edge solutions that simplify collaboration across HR, finance, and IT. Learn more about how Paylocity can help streamline work and enhance business outcomes for your organization at paylocity.com/simplified.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another episode of the We Have a Meeting podcast. Today, we've got a great honor, someone we're hoping to learn a lot from. A best-selling author, she's a keynote speaker, she's a thought leader. I spotted the other day that she's got over 3 million followers on LinkedIn. I felt a bit starstruck when she joined the call today. We're joined by expert in workplace and, more importantly, people, Liz Ryan. Liz, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
No problem at all. So for our audience, and if anyone's crazy enough to not know who you are, what's your kind of brief elevator pitch on who you are and the problem that you solve?
Well, I'm an HR person since the dawn of time. That's my background, corporate and startup HR. And being an HR person for so long, I really got a close-up view of what works and what doesn't work in organizations, small and large. And it was the human side of, you know, treating people with respect and, sort of being open to the variations that people show up with and their ideas and their backgrounds and really celebrating the human side of work was always the way to go. It was always the right answer over some sort of programmatic, policy-driven, fear-based, traditional sense of management or leadership or whatever. And so I said for years and years while I was an HR person, I'm going to teach this stuff one day. I'm going to write about it, speak about it. And so I finally got a chance when a company that I worked for, running HR, was sold. And that was the shove off the end of the pier, you know, into the water. And I started doing what I do now. So our company is called Human Workplace. And it's all about teaching people how to step into their power as individuals, working and being consultants or being entrepreneurs or working in an organization, and also to leaders, how to build workplaces that are more human and that are more organic and therefore more successful. And there's a current obviously going on right now where people are saying enough, like COVID should have taught us at least that there's more to life than let me walk into this building and just sit there for 8 hours and then go home. I mean, so, there are going to be organizations that get that message and others that don't, and we'll just see what happens.
Wow. So it sounds like you help not only the employer, but more importantly, the employee. And is that from the ground up? Is it certain departments that you specialize in?
No, anybody, any background, any function. The function thing, honestly, Zach, I feel like one of the, I started noticing walking into the corporate world when I was a kid, really 17, because I was temping while I was in college. I'm a singer. I'm an opera singer. So I went to conservatory out of high school. And so I did part-time job waiting tables, but can't remember why. I think I got fired or something. As for some reason, I've been fired several times. I went into offices and I was just temping, and what an unbelievable, you hear everything and okay. And you're just noticing. And the big thing that I was noticing as a teenager temping in these Wall Street firms in New York was the theatricality, which means the fakeness, the bullshit, excuse my French, not to slur the French, our friends in France, but it was just overwhelming. It was overwhelming. You know what I mean? The fakeness. You're familiar.
Fakeness.
You know, the fakeness in the business world, how people address one another and how they defer to the big boss when the big boss walks in. Oh, yes, Charlie, I shall have that for you in half an hour. And and you couldn't even get people to see the fakeness versus the realness. Like maybe you and they had been having a really cool conversation about something business related or not business related. And then the whole energy changes in the room when the vice president walks in. I got to have that on my report, that report on my desk by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. If you want to see that. Oh yes, absolutely, sir. You know, you'll get it. This was a long time ago, but it wasn't that long ago. The attitude still persists. People don't feel like they can bring themselves to work the way we should be able to do, not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the organization and its customers. And so for me, getting sort of helping people see where there are barriers to people just bringing their creativity. Let's say that you have a company and you're hiring entry-level inside salespeople. You're hiring people to get on the phone and generate leads. And somebody says, I don't have a lot of office experience, but I really like talking to people. Well, what do you do outside of work? I'm a stand-up comic. You're a stand-up comic? Yeah. Oh, you're so hired. you can on the fly, you can come up with ideas, you can resonate, you can riff off an audience, you can listen to what people say. You got the job. As long as you can be here reliably or get on the phone, whatever, log in, you got the job. Whereas in a traditional environment, they would never, ever consider someone with a performing career on the side. Oh, that's so scary. They're terrified of that because it means your heart is not in this. And we are moving out of the era where anybody can expect somebody's heart, full heart, to be in their job, apart from if they feel really supported and really valued. That's when people obviously give a shiz. So that's what we do. We work with organizations and we work with individuals mostly in the form of courses, virtual courses, and with a coaching group for folks who want to, work with me in a group. And then I just do a lot of speaking and writing and consulting, the huge.
Well, from you speaking there, it's very, very inspirational. And there was a few things that you said there that kind of leads me on to my next point. But there's me and Zach were discussing this the other day. There's a wonderful phrase. It's called the tree of monkeys. And when you're at the top of the tree, you look down and all you see is smiling faces. But when you're at the bottom of the tree, you look up and all you see are assholes. And if that doesn't describe the corporate ladder, Liz.
It's so funny. It's so true, Jack. It's so true. It's this is what I mean about kind of the fakeness. You know what? Sometimes people say to me, you're all critical of the working world, the traditional working world. And, that's easy to throw stones at the monkeys. you did that. You did that work, Liz. You ran HR for a Fortune 500 company. So you're not blameless. You can't just go around saying, oh, now it sucks. It used to be great. What changed? And it's a good question. And the answer is 20 years ago, for better or worse, okay, the work workplace was not as diverse as it is now. It was completely unforgiving of a non-traditional background. If you showed up with a non-traditional background, they were like, you know, there were a lot of problems. It was not great for women. It was not great for Black people, people of color. I mean, gay people, forget it. It was harsh. It was harsh. It's better in some respects now. But back then, you got a job. You're going to have the job 10 or 20 years. We took it for granted. I'm old enough to remember doing orientation day for all the newbies, like every 2 weeks or whatever, and they'd all be in the room, and I'd be like, hi, welcome to our company. We're so glad you're here. And why don't you pull out the booklet about the retirement plan? And it was an actual conversation. Now, you tell new employees to pull out their booklet about the retirement plan, they're going to laugh in your face because no one expects to retire from the company that they're starting with. And we should just be honest about that and say, look, you're working here. It's awesome. We're so glad you're here. We hope it's good for you. Basically, we're all entrepreneurs now. You're working with us, and that's like two highways going, you know, on my lane and your lane. And at one point, they're going to carve off. It's just not going to work for you, or something's going to change, or you're going to move to Blackpool, or whatever is going to happen. And that's fine, too. And we'll hopefully part friends. It'll be great. And I'll refer you later, or we'll work together again. We are independents now, even if we don't realize it. So the idea of trying to find solace and comfort and security in some kind of corporate womb, that's what's gone. And that's
1,000,000%.
Sorry?
No, I said 1,000,000%. I totally agree with
it's
you.
It's gone. My father got a job coming out of college and stayed there until he retired. That's, in the government, maybe you do that now, but who else? Nobody else does that. And or no. Who would want to, really? So what has changed is that the culture has changed. When I was an HR person, we were not laying people off and sacking people and making people redundant every 5 minutes for literally no reason, because a meeting happened in Hong Kong and they decided we don't need this division. And in the face of that much insecurity, I'm gut level insecurity, how am I going to pay the rent? How am I going to feed my kids? You have to see yourself as a CEO. And that's my big message to individuals. You are a CEO. You're out there. You're an economic unit like General Motors or Apple. And you cannot look for a corporation to sort of take care of you. You have to find partnerships, like partnerships with you guys that work, that feel good, that meet your needs and grow your flame. And then off you go. And you can't fall asleep.
You've got to be your own boss, and it's something I wish I had probably learned at a younger age, but I think once it clicks, it clicks. So you touched on something there, Liz. So I watched one of your keynote speeches recently, and one of the points you made, it really hit home with me. So you talk about how important it is to turn up as your authentic self. So I can definitely say for hiring and managing a team, I think it's something I've struggled with, and I'm sure a lot of other listeners have too. And it sounds so simple, but for whatever, we end up struggling with it. So what tips would you have for people who might struggle to turn up and just be them?
It's such a great question, Jack. Okay, like, let's say you're a singer and you're in clubs and you're in bars and it's a new crowd every night and somebody hands you a microphone. Does this sound like a familiar experience to you, Jack?
Many moons ago.
Okay. That is like the most exposed you can be on this planet, apart from modeling, I guess. You are out there. It is you standing there. It's your voice. It's your lung capacity. It's your every single thing, your passion in the words. Oh, that's why 99.9% of people don't do that. They don't go to clubs and sing in front of strangers because it's super scary, right? But once you break through that fear, which you probably did when you were 14 years old, it's not even fear anymore. You're like, give me the mic. Give me that mic, right? I want to sing. When we don't show up as our authentic self, it's because we're afraid to. It doesn't feel safe. And so our individual process is enlarging the area that feels safe all the time, conscientiously, intentionally, expanding the zone of safety around us, which is a very personal thing. And it's taking steps into the unsafe, what seems at first to be unsafe, taking little tiny baby steps into, that seems scary. No, it actually wasn't. That was fine. Somebody says, hey, call this marketing director and see if you can set up an appointment for somebody to come and talk to them about whatever. No, I can't. That's terrifying. Let me help you make it less terrifying. And actually, it's going to be really fun. And you know, I have a friend who's a big skydiver. He learned to skydive in the Army. And now he skydives for fun all over the country, all over the world with like 100 other people in a ring. You know how they do? And they all go down at the same time. And he said, the very first time I did it, it was 99% terrifying and 1% fun. The second time I did it, it was like 96% terrifying and 4% fun. And I just tried to sort of be analytical. I could see that fun quotient growing. And of course, when something's fun, you want to do it. And he said after maybe a year, it was 100% fun. And they actually tell you that's when you have to be really, really, really careful. Because you're so into how blissful it is that you know I want you to go back and remember all the stuff. But it's the same way with any new scary activity. So showing up as your authentic self is a matter of taking away walls and barriers that keep you from doing that because you would naturally do that. The biggest barrier in the interviewing scenario when you're hiring for you as a hiring manager is the script that you have been told, Jack, this is the script you must follow and ask these questions in this order. And you have to act like a grown-up. And you're a rock and roll singer. Why would you act like a grown-up ever?
Agreed. And yeah, that's very much my interview style as well. I do lots of knee slides.
And you do the knee slides. And that is why people want to work with you, because they feel you coming through the conversation and the script. I would say in terms of interviewing and having it be as soft and as real as it can be is the tone of the interview. If you walk in there with a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, if it's a physical meeting, and you offer them one, and then you say, so, you know, I'd like to just be really informal. I'm sure you do this, but with these interviews, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the job. It's good to actually tell them something, a paragraph or two, before you ask them any questions, because otherwise you set up a frame, like a stage setting that's interrogation. We all know that police interrogation, right? The light is in your eyes. Where were you, Zach, on the night of the 14th? Who could account for, but it's scary. It's terrifying. And obviously job interviews are way up there on the list of scary things. So the more you can say, oh, you know, we like to keep this really, their blood pressure sinks. And now you're going to get the real person. So, you know, my friend and I started this company. We're thrilled. It's going so well. We provide this service for companies. And one of the things that's really important to both of us is to have the people who work here feel like it's a great part of their day and their week to work. They all have other things going on too, but you know, to say that, to have it be satisfying, to have it be really confidence building for them is so important to us. We're training you, we're mentoring you, we love that. And we all celebrate in our successes. So you know, I just love to hear about, you know, whatever you want to know, how you heard about us or what makes you interested in this kind of a sales job. It's fast and furious. I know my body chemistry is. I love the speed. I love the constant winds. The bells ringing. Boom! We got an appointment. Boom! Boom! You guys are killing it. And I'd just love to hear from you. You know what makes this kind of thing appealing, if anything, and you know what I can tell you about the role.
Wow. Okay. One thing that I'm picking up on, Liz, and correct me if I'm wrong. A lot of what you talk about is almost like the person you are outside of work, what kind of passions and hobbies and things have you got that I can then marry up with what we do here, which I know sounds so simple when I say that out loud, but is that a lot of what you're...
It's a lot of it. And there's, we resist that, you know, most of my time is spent in the US and there's still a very big sense that if you are not in full corporate metal jacket, if you are not fully like this, I speak words, I use the timbre in my voice, that you're somehow scary or less than legitimate. And I think it's really that ancient and persistent fear of art, fear of disruption, fear of messy things, and people are messy. And so when we accept that and say, you know, if you stop coming to work and not call, you're going to hear from me, obviously, if only to check on your welfare. But other than that, I mean, we trust you. If we didn't trust you, why would you hire you? And that's not the prevailing mode, obviously, anywhere in the world, as far as I know. There's always this sort of pressure or fear coming down. Have you had regular jobs ever when you were younger? Working for a regular boss? You did?
Yeah. Before we started this up, well, no, Jack was a singer on a cruise ship before we started this up. But I did. I came out of university and, like all people, fell into my next role. I'd studied music and then fell into a sales job, and that took me off. But I worked with a lot of extreme personalities on the CEO ladder. To answer your question, I did have regular, normal suit and tie jobs.
You know. I hear from a lot of people, but I hear from a lot of doctors, both doctors who are frustrated with working in healthcare, which is a whole nother topic, but also doctors who say, Liz, do you think people understand that over 50% of visits to emergency rooms have a workplace aspect? Workplace stress is a major, major public health issue that is completely unaddressed. And we don't talk about it. You're just supposed to suck it up and you're just supposed to deal with it on your own. And it's also exacerbated by the fact that we don't talk about it. I talked about sort of this energy, you know, realness versus fakeness. And when you're in a horrible meeting, which happens to everyone in corporate life at some point, or even startup or institutional life, a horrible, dreadful, ugly, dark, punitive, you know, these awful conversations that you find yourself in with three or five people or whatever, nobody breaks the ice. Nobody tells the truth. Nobody says, wait a second. You remember the story about the emperor with the new clothes? Somebody came to weave him a beautiful suit, but the guy was making it up and had no thread and there was no suit. And so the emperor does his procession through the town naked. And everybody doesn't want to admit they can't see the clothes because supposedly you have to be highborn to see the clothes, right? That's the trick. So a little kid says, "But mommy, he's naked. He's not alone." And then everybody said, "Oh, it's not just me." And that's what we need to do at work as well. But there's so much baggage. There's so much training. There's so much history. It's such huge cultural tropes, right? About how you must behave at work, that corporations lose out on creativity and ideas and teamwork, innovation, everything we say we want, we stifle them. It's very counterintuitive, but it's all based on fear. Fear that somebody might go off the script or somebody might challenge the status quo.
Yeah, it brings up a point. Actually, we had the ex-VP of Twitter on the podcast yesterday, similar type of topic we were discussing, but he made an interesting point that a lot of people in the modern workplace are in a constant state of managed exhaustion. So they're all exhausted, but just not realizing it and trying to manage it. So a point that he made was often when people go on holiday or even like taking a shower, they find that that's when the creativity, when the actual person comes back into the brain rather than the robot that's been conditioned to, you know, go through those jobs and deal with the CEO and get the paperwork 100%. Done. Which is probably something that you see in the States all the time.
It's a really great observation. When I was in grad school, we did, you know, a lot of stuff about strategy. And so I was working in a company that was growing really fast. And I asked our executives, where does the strategy come from? I sit in meetings and see these strategy documents and charts and forecasts, whatever. Where does it come from? And they all said, shower. Driving, when my brain I'm just driving, doing something where my mind can't be there and I have to go, like watching my kid's soccer game. No offense to children's football, but you know, there's a certain point where you can't stay in it and your brain goes, oh, there's the strategy. And it's never a stepwise linear, let me arrive at the right strategy. It's always like, oh, that's what it is. Of course. I'm sure that happens to you fellas all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You say, that's what it is. Ah, Jack. It's a spark. It's a creative spark. And so, but that's not how we run businesses. We don't run them for spark. we run them for the algorithm predicts and it crushes the human spirit and the human value creation engine that we all carry around. It's just not, we don't feed that flame. And so it dies out. And the exhaustion, how's that going to help?
Yeah. Me and Jack actually end up sending each other a lot of voice notes and texts about problems that we've solved on the weekend. You know, like when we're sat in our dressing gowns with our, well, I've got four children. So when I'm sat being beaten up by my children.
Wow. You have four children. Wow. That's amazing. You are so busy.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
It's so incredible.
I don't know what I was thinking, four children and starting a business. I might be losing this hair before we know it. But just to sort of echo that point, it makes me think of, like, you know, when you hear it from your side, that's probably why we're coming up with solutions on the weekend when we're kind of detached from it. One thing I was hoping you could help us with. So as I said before we started, we've only been running this business for a year. So interviewing people is still quite a new process to us. And I feel like there's, and maybe you might tell me this isn't a bad thing, but we might be interviewing for the same role a lot, but often the interview is not the same that I conduct with the set. You know, I don't have a kind of a process really that I'm following. I just kind of just see how the person is and we just kind of go through the motions. But is there kind of a blueprint that you'd advise that we follow?
Yes. First of all, hats off to you both for what you've built. It's absolutely magnificent. The four kids, that's a whole nother. that's brilliant, though. That's wonderful. Interviewing.
Hi, I'm Adam Grant, host of the podcast Work Life. For over 20 years, Paylocity has been simplifying work with innovative solutions that teams love, like on-demand payment, which offers employees access to wages prior to payday, flexible time tracking features, which enable staff to clock in and out through their mobile device, and numerous other cutting-edge solutions that simplify collaboration across HR, finance, and IT. Learn more about how Paylocity can help streamline work and enhance business outcomes for your organization at paylocity.com/simplified.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive-compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
If you think about how to bring someone into your organization, you start a company, what do? You call your best mate. Hey, let's start a company. That's the time-honored tradition, okay? Neither of you was going to place a help wanted advert and interview people to be a co-founder. That's ridiculous. Okay. You're going to call your best mate. So then if you think about it, how does that process expand? A lot of people grow startup companies by calling the other best mate and the younger brother and the cousin and the guy that he knows from whatever, right? That's very organic and very normal. The reason we even have a hiring process is because that thread runs out. There's no more mates and the guy's not available and this one's in jail and that one's doing on a cruise ship, right? And so you have to go to the wider population. But this is where a lot of people, I'm sure not you, but in general, the mindset is, oh, now it becomes very formal. Now, at that moment, when it's no longer us and the people we know and then somebody that your cousin used to date who has a brother who's really smart, that whole organic thing, when that gives out because there's just no more juice there, then we get really, really formal. You must possess this experience and we get very top down. We're the company, you are the lowly candidate, so grovel, knave, if you want to come in here. And this is the standard everywhere. If you look at job adverts, it's shocking how insulting they are, really. And so for a small company, any company can do this, but particularly a small organization, you have this huge advantage that you're not that. So resist any impulse to go in that direction. You say, we've started a company that is growing like crazy. It's really exciting. We'd love to talk to you about it. If you are like this, this is the advert now. If you love to talk to new people, you get a charge out of daily wins, you'd really like to take in new information, you're interested in, you know, digital marketing, whatever, you know, blah, 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 blah. You give them like the sexiest parts of the job. And if it's flexible hours, you throw that in there. If it's work from home, you throw that in there. You're selling. It's an advert. You're selling. But we tend to think, I'm hiring. You should crawl on bended knee to the throne, and then I'll decide if you're good enough. Recruiting is not about weeding people out. It's about inviting people in. And yes, as a consequence of that, some people will not get the job, but it's still a friendly, just doesn't feel like it's the right thing right now, but let's keep in touch. The advert is brings them in. You create a magnet, and you get a bunch of people who inquire. And you'll also really help yourself and them and your customers if you say in the ad, just send us a couple paragraphs about why what I wrote in this ad is appealing to you. Because now you're going to see, to the extent that there's writing in the job, like emails and correspondence, I don't know if there is, but that would really show you how well they put thoughts into words and use the language. Or you say, if you wanted to have fun with it, you say, just record a voice memo for us. Leave us a voice memo. They're going to be on the phone. So we're just breaking out of all these conventions. When it comes to, I'm sorry, my nose itches. When it comes to the actual interview, there is no need for any organization to start asking questions. So, what do you think? That's a very, we know that that structure, somebody's asking me questions. Oral exams in school, right? And a citizenship test, you know, and all these official, formal, scary things. So we don't want to do that. It's very scary. And you're not going to get a person out of their shell with that type of approach. So you just sit down and you say, so, you know, we're not super formal about this. The company's a year old. We're blown away by how successful we've been and very grateful. And it's folks like you who helped us do that. And so here's the role. It's this, it's that, here's how it works. Stop me at any time with questions, but I want you to know what we're talking about before I ask you anything. It's much more intuitive. Like, how am I supposed to answer questions? I don't even know where I am. I don't even know who you are. I don't know your background. I don't know what this company is, right? But we have a hard time getting rid of this power inequality. Employers are up, candidates are down, they should grovel. When you break that wide open and say, I don't know if this is the right place for you. I'm selling you as much as you're selling me.
Yeah.
You get the real immediately. So like, just give me a feel. What's a job you had or something you did at school or something you did in the community that you just loved it and you felt like this was you in your power? And they say, oh, well, actually, you know what it is? I did a thing with my mom last year where we did this food drive and it was incredibly blah, blah, blah. You say, okay, I get something about the person. Besides, do you have Microsoft Office experience? Let's not talk about things you could teach someone in 4 hours, you know, like that. We don't need to do that. And I think just bursting open the traditional interview format, it's going to be faster. It's going to be more fun for everybody. They're going to feel better. Because these days, you can hire people, but keeping people on board is a challenge too. And so everything starts with that initial. You want them to go home and say to whoever they live with, I met the coolest guys today. I really hope this works out. I met the coolest guys. This sounds like almost like my dream job. For where I am in my life right now, age 24 or age whatever, I feel like this. If this works out, this could just help me in so many ways.
And how do we prepare someone for the parts of the job that will need the most resilience then? You know, if we're painting quite a positive picture.
Yes.
Just so, because obviously there will be tough days in there as well. Ooh. So how do we make sure we're not kind of overselling?
Genius question. So you say, so now you heard this rosy picture from me, and it's really fun, it's really fizzy. There's just constant affirmation, and our customers are really cool and all this kind of stuff. So why doesn't everybody in the world want to do this job, right? This is like, woo, yeah, well, because in sales, there's this thing called rejection. I know you've heard about it. It's probably happened to you. It's happened to you in the romantic part of life. It's happened to you everywhere. It happens to all of us. And what we do is we will teach you how to water off a duck's back. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's fine. Some people are supposed to say no, because if everybody said yes, we wouldn't have a business because customers wouldn't pay us to solve a problem they don't have. If everybody said yes, we would not have a business. Nobody who works here would have a job because there is no problem, because our customers could do it themselves. It takes skill. We're going to teach you that skill. It's a job with an apprenticeship built in. You will have these skills forever. And by the way, they're not just in the business world. You set appointments for us. You build rapport with strangers. You cut into an executive or a working person's busy day with a message that's compelling to them. Do you know what that equips you for? You could start your own business. You could start 100 businesses. You could teach this. You'll use this in your interpersonal relationships with the people. Your landlord, right? Someone is trying to sell you a car. You communication skills, no one can take them away from you. And they're incredibly valuable. So if you come to work here, the toughest part of the job, I'm going to tell you exactly what happens. This is it right now. Get ready. It's a movie. You're on the phone with somebody. They say, can I just tell you something? What's your name? Josh? Your name is Josh? All right, let me just tell you something, Josh. This is obnoxious. You're a horrible person. I can't believe you do the stupid outreach job, setting up appointments. You're scum. I hate you. You're probably dumb and ugly. I mean, and you say, oh, God bless. No, thank you. You're having a tough day. It's all really good. Thanks so much. You did a service for that person, Josh. They just insulted you. And you say, you know what? I can take it. I've heard it a million times. And, you know, it doesn't bother me. But also, literally letting that poor man vent, managed exhaustion. He cannot handle the pressures of his life. I gave him a little outlet today. It's a service. Give me the next call. It's nothing. I don't care. Nothing. I'm not going to cry in the men's room. I don't care. This is part of the job. It's actually, it means that the next one has a higher probability of closing.
1,000,000%. So good.
Carry
on, Liz.
No, just that you lay it out that dramatically, it actually takes some of the sting out of it. There will be rejection and you have to deal with rejection. Rejection, it's a word. It means somebody says, no thanks, no thanks, no thanks. There's a little phrase, there's a little catchphrase. I don't know if it's popular in the UK. It's entrepreneurs use it. People are selling something and it's some will, some won't. So what? Mm. Next. Some will, some won't. So what? Next. And you can have it on a poster and you could record a jingle. Some will, some won't. So what? Next. It's literally so what? It's literally so what? I teach people in all every program and all of my art and whatever, only the people who get you, meaning understand you, resonate with you, deserve you. You're trying to set up appointments. Yeah. Some people you're going to just feel that the energy is absolutely right. You tell them a joke. You break the ice. You say you're having a tough day. Listen, maybe it's not a good time. I can call you back. Oh, no, let's talk now. I want to hear what you have to say. Some of them won't. They won't get you. I never talk to telemarketers. God bless. Have a great day. Glad to be able to make your acquaintance and have a wonderful day. You will, after a while, I guarantee you, 6 weeks, 8 weeks doing this, your blood pressure will not rise. When somebody tells you to go jump in a lake or worse, you say, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep. They say some horrible thing, you say, yeah, thank you so much. You will not care. And that is something I will give you if you come and work in the company. That thick skin that benefits all of us.
Yeah.
All of us.
So, and I think you said it beautifully, Liz. I think when you're delivering it to new starters and explaining kind of some will, some won't, big deal, whatever next, I won't sing it because I don't think I'll do as good a job as you, Liz, but it's all boils down to the way you frame it. And what it made me think about is, it made me think about Zach as a father. When the babies fall over and there's that split second where they're shocked, if you run over to him and go, oh no, what have you done? Whereas if you go, all right, come on, like I was down to see him, and it's just that kind of, well, big deal. Yeah, we're all going to fall over in time. Just get back up. And then they're like, yeah, okay, this is what I'm used to. But if you pander to them and it's, oh, it's the saddest thing in the world, it's so hard and I don't want to be rejected, of course you're going to find it fucking hard. So it's that kind of thing, how you frame it.
I don't know where to use that word.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. So that's a brilliant analogy you can use with your new starters. That's a brilliant analogy. My brother is an engineer. He told me children complete 60,000 physics experiments by the time they start school. 60,000, which is what? About 5 years, 12,000 a year, 1,000 a month. It makes sense, right?
Wow.
What are the physics experiments? Whatever. What happens when you pour water into mud? What happens when hot water comes out of the faucet? You know, they're just constantly conducting physics experiments and learning about the world. Then the number of experiments they conduct drops off and off and off. And by the time you're 25, most people aren't conducting any experiments at all. They don't want to learn about what they don't know. It's too much. They're already overwhelmed, managed exhaustion, and they constrain their experiences. They try to create a box of security around them. And the problem is that that box does not support you or secure you as much as it hinders you. Because when you're not dealing with the real world and the challenges that it actually presents, you're not getting stronger. And when you're not getting stronger, the way muscles work, I'm a perfect example, they get weaker. So saying to your new starters, look, we are going to put you in situations that are going to challenge you. And the first couple times it might sting and hurt your feelings. And we're so happy to talk to you about that. But most of what we're going to say is, like we say to babies and toddlers that fall over, get up, it's no big deal. My husband played sports as a kid. And the funniest thing, the coach would always say, you'd get hit with a baseball hard, you know, in the leg. And he'd say, rub some dirt on it. It doesn't makes sense. But that's what all the baseball coaches say. Rub some dirt on it. It means like, get up and play. That's why we're here. It's fun to play. You fall down, who cares? You fall down. You're not going to break a leg making calls, being on the phone with people. And it's actually the process of working through that pain. It's painful the first time. Remember the parachute guy, my friend Dave? 96% fear the first time. Drops down to 92, 86, 71. Same thing. You're on the phone, you're so afraid. What if they don't accept me and they don't want to talk to me and they won't do the appointment and everything, no big deal. But the first time you get one, we're gonna be really excited. And then we're going to say, so now you're level 3 or whatever. I expect 10 people to tell you no. And I expect you to say, okay, no, that's a no. Boop, next. You don't have time. Think about dating. You don't go on a date thinking, if they don't like me, my life is over. Who are they? They're no one to you. They don't even rate a line in your screenplay.
Hi, I'm Adam Grant, host of the podcast Work Life. For over 20 years, Paylocity has been simplifying work with innovative solutions that teams love, like on-demand payment, which offers employees access to wages prior to payday, flexible time tracking features, which enable staff to clock in and out through their mobile device, and numerous other cutting-edge solutions that simplify collaboration across HR, finance, and IT. Learn more about how Paylocity can help streamline work and enhance business outcomes for your organization at paylocity.com/simplified.
Does it ever feel like you're a marketing professional just
speaking into the void?
Well, with LinkedIn ads, you can know you're reaching the right decision makers. You can even target buyers by job title, industry, company, seniority, skills. Wait, did I say job title yet? Get started today and see how you can avoid the void and reach the right buyers with LinkedIn ads. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Get started at linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply.
This person you're going to call, we have no idea what their life situation is, where they are, how they're feeling, what their boss said to them this morning. We have no idea. So they don't want to do it. Call them back next week. Maybe they'll change their mind. But we don't let it affect
That's
us
so
emotionally.
True.
You're mad. You're a guru at this. So I mean, in terms of the hiring, I would really paint a picture for them. And tell them, this is what things are going to look like 6 months from now. Here's typical, you know, trajectory. Here's what you'll be doing. And you'll still have tons of people saying no thanks. And you'll be like, that's fine. It's part of the job. I don't care. You know, I'm going to get that number down. I'm going to get that number down so that I have more people closed. But other than that, it's just a part of the job. It's just like working with widgets.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I love people, but the idea that they can have a positive impact on somebody who slams the phone down on them, I think that's a, not that phones really slam anymore. I think that's a big part of it. To say, believe me, you're going to be so good at this, you're going to remember this job, regardless of what else you do in your life, as the place where you learned not to be afraid.
Mm.
And that's what I can give you.
And if we can do that to people, then we're kind of pushing people in the right direction. So Liz, one of the things that me and Zach have spoke about is we're really big on like culture and really creating like a good energy. And one of the ways that we do that is obviously money motivation, it's cash bonuses, things like that. Something that we've decided to do within the last month, which is obviously we're coming up to the year of a business, is we've decided to get a therapist for every person. So they've got 4 sessions a month. Well, it's 1 session a week for every person. You can opt in, you can opt out, but everyone has access to that therapist in case of burnout. What else can we do to make the workplace feel healthy and also motivational for our employees?
That's amazing. I've never heard of anyone doing that before. I think that's brilliant. Hats off to you. It's energy. So it's going to be, it has to be, as you continue to grow, extremely easy for people to say, I have a problem. If they physically reach out to you, if there's someone else, if it's email, text, whatever, they have to be able to let you know if something goes wrong. Because things do go wrong, it's just a function of size. And so what am I talking about? Someone's getting sexually harassed. Doesn't have to be a coworker. Could be a customer. Could be a vendor. Someone is facing, you know, racial or ethnic or some kind of, you know, harassment. Someone has something massive going on at home. You have the therapist and you're not trying to pry into their personal business, but if it's going to affect the business or if it's going to affect their ability to work, you would like to know and you'd like to have it be easy for them to talk to you. I would get the impression it's very easy to talk to both of you, but it's almost like we can't work hard enough to have people feel comfortable. A lot of people do town hall meetings every so often, every couple months. Hey, we're doing a town hall meeting. It could be virtual. And all it is everybody's together on a call and they can ask questions. And if you want to have a little time to prepare thoughtful answers to the questions, you just tell them to submit the questions in advance. And if you want to make it very safe, then you say, send the questions to, anonymize, is that the word? Anonymize the questions somehow so that they're not tagged to a person. Mm-hmm. Right now we have in the US a lot of companies unionizing. Starbucks is getting unions. And I won't bore you with the history of employment in the US, but it's grim. and it's because they couldn't speak up. There was no outlet. There was no way to say, hey, this equipment is unsafe and people are getting hurt or whatever. There was no way to report it. So having two-way communication, your communication to them and their ability to communicate with you is huge. I think it's the biggest thing on top of the actual pay and the job itself. The role itself, just input latitude to the extent, let's say you have a script and it's pretty formal because you know, it works. It's a perk then to be on the job 6 months or some period of time and say, you know what, Hillary, you really have this down. Go ahead and play with the script a little bit, try some stuff that feels like you feels that's a really big advantage. A lot of people really appreciate that because it feels like, okay, I can bring myself to this job.
I think that piece on transparency. So when we start off, we've got, it's only 8 points. It's like an 8-point culture piece that, because we've got 2 different offices, we're trying to make it so that if you put both offices in a room together, they would have the same points and know the culture of the company, regardless of where they were based. But one of the big things in there is transparency, that if you can't talk to me because I'm not here, you can talk to Jack, and there's no problem that you can bring to us that we're going to laugh at or look down on. And if we don't know the answer, like with the therapist, we'll go and find something that will give you that answer.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. And you get a good sense about the culture now. People seem to be happy and engaged and, you know, bringing their friends. Can they bring their friends to work? I mean, can they refer someone for a job?
We've got a guy who said my friend's in a sales job that he doesn't like. He started out at university. He was quite excited to start. It's everything. It's like Wolf of Wall Street. It's like the worst of sales. Can you meet
Glenn,
him?
Gary, Glenn.
And exactly. Yeah. Coffees for closers type nonsense. We met him, really liked him. He was the same as the guy that we hired. He had all those same qualities. So we've hired him as well. So there's a guy in the Manchester office who's effectively working with his best friend every day.
I love it. And yeah. Are they Manchester U supporters or are they City?
Will answer that. I think Manchester, I'm not sure. I think they're all Liverpool supporters. We don't talk a lot about football. We talk about rock stars and music.
Talk about rock stars. No, this is anybody that has people bringing their friends to work with them is doing things right. Okay. Nobody brings their friends to work at a toxic place. The people are bringing their friends. Mm. It's hallelujah. That is wonderful because they care about their friends and they also want to chill with their friends during the day. It's logical. As you grow, you know, that will be an important way to get new talent. It can't be the only way, of course, because we have to broaden the pool for diversity reasons and all that. But I have hired so many friends of friends that one time my CEO got a letter, kind of an angry letter from the CEO of another company and said, you're poaching our employees. You've hired five of our top managers. And I hired all of them. And so my boss called me and said, you know, what's the story? And I said, yeah, I'll hire five more. I'm sorry, if you can't keep your employees happy, what do you want from me? This is not, think about the ownership implied in that. Isn't that gross? You've taken my people, really? Because the last time I looked, they're adults and they get to decide where to work for themselves. It was extremely trivial. I mean, it was important, but the reason I was able to hire five managers from that, it was a consulting firm, they're still around, is because they had kids. And I said, they traveled 5 days a week. Duh. I said, you do the same job and we'll pay you more and you don't travel anymore. And they were like, yeah, where do I sign? So boom, boom, boom. The first one came. She brought her friend, five women. And there they are. And then we got a note from the CEO, like it's 18-12 and he controls them. And don't you take my people. Really? Well, here's the rule. Take better care of them. Give them what they need and want. And they won't come to work for us or anybody else. But until that happens, my boss had a little fun with it. He wrote back to the gentleman and he said, thank you very much for inquiring about employment opportunities at our company. We still do have some openings, so I can send you an application, you know, if you're interested. But yeah, it's the old world. That's the old world. Don't poach my employees. It's like, what? Tell your mom, like, what? This is the new world. Now, everybody is going to do the thing that suits them. And when your environment is as hospitable and supportive as it is, yeah, rejoice. It's a great thing. It's, you know, that's what everybody aspires to, is have a place where people want to be and they want to bring their friends. Not in the slightest. It's my pleasure. Absolutely. I'm on Twitter, Human Workplace, and LinkedIn under my name, Liz Ryan. But we also have a website, humanworkplace.com. Our company is called Human Workplace. Our mission is to reinvent work for people. And I'm around and I'm very happy to talk to whoever. So. Thank you. It's only a matter of time. It's going to happen. And anything I can do to help spread the word, of course, I'm happy to do it. So you let me know. Not at all. Great to meet you as well. Take care.
Hi, I'm Adam Grant, host of the podcast Work Life. For over 20 years, Paylocity has been simplifying work with innovative solutions that teams love, like on-demand payment, which offers employees access to wages prior to payday, flexible time tracking features, which enable staff to clock in and out through their mobile device, and numerous other cutting-edge solutions that simplify collaboration across HR, finance, and IT. Learn more about how Paylocity can help streamline work and enhance business outcomes for your organization at paylocity.com/simplified.
This podcast is brought to you by Aura. Imagine waking up to find your bank account drained, bills for loans you never took out, a warrant for your arrest, all because someone stole your identity. Hackers aren't waiting. Why are you? That's why we're thrilled to partner with Aura. Your personal data is a goldmine for hackers, and Aura helps lock it down. Aura monitors the dark web, blocks data brokers from selling your information, includes a VPN for private browsing, and a password manager to secure your accounts before criminals break in. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 14-day free trial plus a dark web scan to check if your personal information has been leaked, all for free at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety to sign up and start protecting yourself and your loved ones. That's aura.com/safety. Terms apply. Check the site for details. This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/listen. Greenlight.com/listen.
Our books are now open. Friends, Romans, countrymen, if you're looking for more sales, and that might be getting more meetings in the diary, meeting more of the right types of people, or breaking into a new area or sector, we've got you covered in two key ways. Number one, we can do it for you. We can kick the doors down, get you the meetings, and do the prospecting that you hate. Or number two, we can teach you how we do it so you can do it for yourselves, creating repeatable, predictable results. So if you're interested in either of those things, www.wehaveameeting.com and hit the contact us form. Speak to you soon.